From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is another fantastic Current Sports on a Tuesday. Yes, it is November 25th. Can you smell the turkey, dressing, ham? Oh, my goodness. I can't wait for Thanksgiving. I know you can't either, folks. Just a few days away now. I can't believe that it's, now just what is that, 2 days now? Oh, my goodness. Crazy stuff. But, folks, we'll get you all prepped and ready for a great Thanksgiving feast by discussing the Detroit Lions today. We'll also talk a little MSU football, recap the MSU and Santa Clara men's basketball game from last night. We'll even talk MSU women's basketball and talk about their season thus far. Of course, Ariel Powers has been playing out of her mind, so has Tori Jankowska. And also, with it being Tuesday and the holiday being just days away, we'll bring you a special Top 5 Tuesday. Like we do each and every Thanksgiving, we go over the top five things we are grateful for and thankful for in the world of sports. You don't want to miss that, folks. All of that and so much more. And hey, we'll also give you another chance to win two tickets to tomorrow night's MSU and Oakland women's basketball game. If you want to win those tickets, you want to keep it locked right here to Current Sports. But before we dive into all of that and so much more, let's start the show like we always do with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, let's start with MSU men's basketball. Michigan State demolished Santa Clara last night in a 79-52 rout for the men's basketball team. Now, the Spartans had 22 assists on 29 field goals. Folks, that's called sharing the ball. That's great stuff. Now, Travis Trice contributed 8. Trice also had a game-high 19 points. Neither Brandon Dawson nor Alvin Ellis played. Up next for the Spartans is Ryder in the third game of the Orlando Classic, which will be taking place on Thanksgiving night, Thursday night at around 6 o'clock, I believe. All right. Well, during the MSU men's basketball game against Santa Clara last night, Walt Drenth and his national champion women's cross-country team was recognized for their accomplishment. The national championship trophy was presented as the girls pose for a team picture and the crowd cheered them on. It's only the second women's national championship in Michigan State school history. How about that? All right. The Michigan State women's team will face off against Oakland tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. in a game that will be held at the Breslin Center. The Spartans are 2-1 this year, with the only loss coming to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in a 71-63 game. Now, MSU's most recent result was a 64-45 win against IUPUI on Sunday. Ariel Powers had 17 points. Tori Jankowska poured in a game-high 22. Again, folks, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game against Oakland. Stay tuned to figure out how you can possibly win those tickets. All right, the University of Michigan men's basketball team defeated Oregon 70-63 last night in the semifinal round of the Progressive Legends Classic at Barclays Center. Now, the Wolverines never trailed the entire game, but the Ducks kept it close for the entire 40 minutes, never falling behind by more than 8 points. Sophomore guard and forward Zach Irvin led U of M with 19 points on 6 of 11 shooting, and he knocked down a trio of three-pointers. Junior guard Karis LeVert finished the night with 18 points after going 11 of 13 from the free throw line, and he added 5 rebounds and 3 assists. Freshman forward Ricky Doyle had his best performance of the season, posting a career-high 10 points on 4 of 5 shooting. All right, folks, hold your horses, hold your horses. You probably saw this internet rumor left and right, but no, the Ohio State UM is not being removed from the Buckeye Stadium sign, all right? Now, earlier, many bit on a post from the Ohio State blog 11 Warriors that the school was removing UM in advance of their rivalry game against Michigan this weekend. There was even a photo, folks. According to another Ohio State blog, the Land Grand Holy Land, OSU spokesperson confirmed that the sign had not been altered and there are no plans to do so. So pump your brakes, folks. Pump your brakes. All right. Well, the Buffalo Bills topped the New York Jets at Ford Field in the D last night. 38-3 the final. The game was moved to Detroit after a snowstorm that took place in Buffalo. More than 55,000 fans filed in to Ford Field. Quite an atmosphere down there. All right, the New Orleans Saints had the opportunity to seize control of the NFC South Division on Monday night. If they could beat the Baltimore Ravens, they'd retake first place from Atlanta, but they couldn't get out of their own way. Now, for every one step forward, the team took three steps back, all right? 34-27 was the final in the Saints' loss to the Ravens. The Saints were within a touchdown with less than 3 minutes left, but they couldn't stop Ravens running back Justin Forsett, who scored from 20 yards out on first and 10 to put the Ravens up 34-20 to seal the game. Well, I guess I'm looking like Nostradamus with my whole New Orleans Saints Super Bowl prediction before this year started, huh, folks? Oh, boy. All right. And Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel was involved in a fight in downtown Cleveland early Saturday, but is not listed as a suspect. Now, that's according to a police report obtained by ESPN. The Cleveland Police Department's report stated Manziel was approached by a fan named Chris Gonos, who says he was assaulted by the rookie quarterback and his entourage. Now, the incident was reported at 2:36 a.m. for the Metropolitan at the Nine Hotel in Cleveland. The report does not indicate that police made any arrest. All right, folks, so that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners for this November 25th, 2014. Our phone lines are now open. And the number to call, if you want to weigh in on any of the discussion that we take part in today's current sports, you can call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in, give your thoughts on anything that is on your sports noggin. And, folks, we have a pair of tickets for the Michigan State versus Oakland University women's basketball game tomorrow night at the Breslin Center. If you want to win tickets to that game, just call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, caller numero Trey, yes, number three, will win those tickets. Yesterday we had caller number two, and congrats to our caller. I forget, what was his name? My man was so cool. Dante, that was his name. Dante, congratulations, man. Dante won tickets to the MSU men's basketball game last night as Michigan State just stomped all over Santa Clara. Interesting quick hit headliners. You know, going back to that Johnny Football story, folks, I mean, Johnny Football is a guy who just can't seem to stay out the news. He dating all the way back to his college career into, you know, him embarking on the NFL draft and reprimanded by many media members and many fans alike out there for partying left and right. And, the frat party back in college that he attended. I mean, he's always in the news. Johnny Football, I tell you what, even though he's not getting much playing time on the field this year, I tell you what, he is always in the news, folks. And again, you know, he was involved in an altercation at a hotel, what they're dubbing as a fight, downtown Cleveland early on Saturday morning. But he's not being listed as a suspect in this report because it's very interesting. Now, a Manziel associate listed as Dana Kirk told police that, quote, the victim attempted to assault his client and he defended him. Now, again, that's all in the police report. Now, Gonos, who is the fan who is involved in this whole thing, which sort of sparked this entire incident, he's the alleged victim. He told police that he was assaulted by Johnny Football and his entourage after he tried to approach Manziel as a fan by saying, quote, I'm the biggest Browns fan ever. I love you. I want to give you a hug. Yeah, that's exactly what he told police. That's all in the report, folks. But, you know, Johnny Football, you know, he felt as though this fan was kind of acting outlandish, being overly aggressive. And a member of Johnny Football's entourage said, oh, hold on, back up, son. You know, yeah, this is Johnny Football we're talking about here. So, and I just think this story is so interesting. And I think those who out there are bashing Johnny Football, because I saw a lot of tweets about this whole incident. And I it wasn't until I dove into this story and really started to read about it, until I really started to take the story, take the side, excuse me, of Johnny Football. Because, you know, when looking at this whole thing, I mean, you've always seen, you know, celebrities out there, not even just in the football or sporting realm, celebrities out there. I mean, there are constantly fans out there who are, you know, just a little bit out of control. You know, I always go back to even when, you know, looking at something that really stands out to me when I read this story was, you know, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was such an icon at what he did, you know, and he became just this legend. You know, Michael Jackson, one of the greatest artists of all time, in my opinion, the greatest artist of all time. I mean, you saw fans whenever Mike couldn't just walk around the mall. You know, Mike couldn't just go to the park and enjoy a sunny day. OK, he would be, you know, just constantly heckled by fans wanting autographs, crying, just wanting to touch the man. So, you know, by no means am I saying that Johnny Football is on the level of Michael Jackson, but Johnny Football is certainly a celebrity nonetheless. I mean, his name's in the paper, his name's, you know, on TV, you see him all the time, you know, in media reports left and right. Johnny Football is definitely a part of, you know, one of these upper echelon celebrity type individuals. So, you know, when he's walking around, he certainly is getting heckled by fans and chants left and right. I found this story particularly interesting because, I mean, can you blame what a member of Johnny Football's entourage did? Because, folks, there are some crazy fans out there. Whenever, you know, a fan sees a celebrity, I'll take my sister for an example. My sister is a huge fan of, what's that band, One Direction? She's a huge One Direction fan. My sister loves One Direction, folks. I guarantee that if my sister saw One Direction walking in the mall, who knows what she might do? You might have to call the police on my sister, okay, folks? So just taking that example and equating it to this, there are fans that do stupid things. You can't go as far as to trying to touch Johnny Manziel. I don't blame his entourage for saying, hold up, man, back up. And, you know, anytime you put hands on another individual, hey, you know, a police report is going to be filed. He felt as though the entourage acted a little bit outlandish. But, hey, I'm not bashing Johnny Manziel or his entourage for this one. I get where he's coming from here. So this shouldn't be a negative story. You shouldn't hold Johnny Manziel in a negative light in this story, at least, folks. OK, so, hey, again, you know, I guess my word or my phrase for the day is pump your brakes. Pump your brakes, folks, okay? Pump your brakes. All right, folks. Well, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So much to talk about, so little time. Want to start with, of course, each and every Tuesday morning, Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio addresses the media down at Spartan Stadium to preview the upcoming matchup. Of course, Michigan State closes out the regular season this weekend against Penn State. So that's the big talk of the town right now. So D'Antonio addressed the media to talk about that matchup, to talk about the season up until this point, and to talk about the state of his program. And, you know, I want to start off by playing two bites here. You know, right now, this Michigan State football team, I tell you what, expectation, when you talk about phrases of the day, expectation can be the phrase of the year for this year's Michigan State football team. Coming off, again, you know, coming off the success they had last year, there are many out there that felt as though this team had a legitimate shot to compete for a national championship, to be among, you know, one of the four teams to compete for a national title. But, of course, with what has ensued, starting with the beginning of the year with the loss to Oregon and then the loss to Ohio State, Michigan State's hopes of that have certainly went out the window. But I tell you what, Michigan State, with only two losses throughout this entire season, that is nothing to scoff at, folks. Michigan State is proving that they are, and they deserve to be, in the conversation as one of the elite college football programs from year to year to year. D'Antonio has established now a consistent realm of success with this program. So it was asked to Coach D whether or not, you know, having a 10-win season has become the ideal standard for this team, and what does that say about his program?
I believe that, you know, winning 10 games around here right now is the benchmark. Obviously, that gets you a little bit of notoriety, not much. Okay, which is, I guess that's a positive. But that's what we've been able to traditionally do right now. So that's been a very big thing for this program. It puts us in the hunt, always to be relevant in terms of the national picture and certainly to be relevant in the Big Ten picture. And that, I think that's what we're trying to do here. And then springboard from there to great possibilities like last year. You know, obviously we've come up a little bit short this year, but the season's not over yet. So we're looking to move forward.
Yeah, you know what? I think MSU football has, you know, for lack of better terms, has really become a victim of its own success. Looking at what this football program has been able to do, specifically on last year. Last year, there were not many out there that thought this team could even sniff the roses, let alone get to that point. And I tell you what, Michigan State exceeded those expectations and more. I always say, whatever expectations you place on yourself, whatever expectations you place on an athletic program, whatever expectations you place on your goals in life, if you don't reach those expectations, it's disappointing, without a doubt. But Michigan State, again, they're highly favored against Penn State this weekend. If they do win, right now they stand at 9-2, second in the Eastern Conference of the Big Ten Conference, of course, behind Ohio State. If they do finish this season at 10-2, folks, it is still a very, very good year for this team. Hey, two losses throughout an entire season. I think there are many college football programs throughout the nation that would love to just have two losses on their record, without a doubt. But again, going back to why I say they are a victim of their own success, it's because once you do something like this team did last year, the expectations rise a bit. You are expected to get back to that point, or at least eclipse that point. You want to climb that next mountain. That's the goal of a program. That's the goal once you've reached that plateau. So I really think that, you know, D'Antonio hit it right on the head. 10-2 is certainly a good year. But it won't be a good year in the eyes of many around these parts, because there are many that expected Michigan State to possibly compete for a national title. You know, another guy who has turned a lot of heads this season, and you talk about expectations. Nobody expected this man to have the year that he is having. Tony Lippett. Tony Lippett, you know, star wide receiver for Michigan State. I guess you can now say star cornerback as well. I mean, the guy can play both sides of the ball. Tony Lippett is a guy, looking at where he has come from the start of his Michigan State football career to where he is now. I mean, Tony Lippett, my goodness. I mean, in conversations as being, you know, he's possibly the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. He's arguably, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the entire nation. I mean, his name was being thrown around in the Biletnikoff Award discussions. Tony Lippett is such a versatile player. I think he's a guy who's going to have a lot of success at the next level. Here's D'Antonio. D'Antonio addressed the progression of Tony Lippett as well.
I think he's taken that step. His confidence. You got to remember, this guy was a quarterback in high school, and he was the guy at Crockett. So he was used to delivering on a, you know, for his football team. So he had the confidence. I think he had the mindset that he could be that guy. He could be the guy, and I think that's what's taken off. He, you know, every year I say every year. Your leaders are, you have to assume that leadership position. I think that comes naturally to people. By the time you get to be a senior, you have to take on that leadership position. And if you're going to lead, you have to make plays. I mean, you have to be able to do that to some extent. Regardless of what position you're playing, you have to play, and you have to be playing pretty well too. And I think he's done that sort of naturally. And I think it's inherent in him. And I think that's taken him to that next step, I think. As a football player too.
Yes, Tony Lippett is a guy, again, you talk about getting better year to year to year, and ideally that's what you strive for as a player, as an athlete, as a program. You want to take steps to getting better each and every year, and Tony Lippett is a guy who has certainly done that. He's a man who has battled through adversity. He's had, throughout his MSU career. And a lot of people don't know this, too. And we're going to let the cat out the bag very soon, I hope, here on Current Sports. But Tony Lippett has such an intriguing story. Now, you know, you probably read about his journey on the field, what he's battled through on the field, you know, to get to where he is now. Again, arguably the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. But there is also a story behind the man that hasn't been told yet that we hope to tell very soon here on Current Sports, which makes his journey to where he is now even more admirable. And we hope to tell that very soon. But again, Tony Lippett is one of those guys, again, who I think is going to have a lot of success at the next level. He has great hands. His route running is so crisp. He, you know, him and, you know, Connor Cook, that's his favorite target. Him and Connor Cook have had a love connection this entire season. Tony Lippitt is going to be a guy I think is going to be, that's going to be talked about a lot at the next level. He has a ton of potential. So he is also a guy that D'Antonio addressed as well in his press conference. And, you know, I think, you know, sky's the limit for Tony Lippitt. He is certainly, certainly one outstanding young man and player. All right, well, let's transition now. Again, folks, our phone lines are now open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to the hardwood, can we? Michigan State and Santa Clara got it on last night at the Breslin Center. Michigan State, you know, really a cupcake game. You know how those beginning of the year games are, with the exception of Duke. I tell you what, Michigan State, though, this is one thing I love about Tom Izzo, Michigan State. Michigan State will schedule, the men's basketball program will schedule games at the beginning of the year that normally you won't see from another program until mid to late in the season. I tell you what, to play Duke as one of the starting games to start off the year, I mean, you know, in Tom Izzo, I asked him the question over the weekend. I mean, my goodness, I mean, it, you know, bouncing back from that Duke game the way they did against Loyola, I asked Tom Izzo, I mean, is this the ideal bounce back game for you? And Tom went on this rant to say, man, I got to be the dumbest scheduler in America, you know, to book all of these games, you know, on the road to start the year, to have all these tests at the beginning of the year. But Tom Izzo knows what he's doing. Tom Izzo knows what he's doing. He has a hidden agenda that if you play these hard games at the beginning of the year, later on, you are, it's going to pay dividends. And it certainly does each and every season for this team. But, you know, last night was one of those games. It was a cupcake. I mean, playing Santa Clara, not a great team. Michigan State, you know, playing Loyola and Santa Clara, great preparation for what they have to deal with this weekend in the Orlando Classic. I mean, they could be playing some top-tier teams throughout that tournament. But, I mean, this is the type of game you want. First off, I want to address the health, because I feel like I'm going through deja vu with this Michigan State men's basketball team, looking at how things began last year. The injury woes, the sicknesses that happened last year seem to be biting them right in the rear end to start this year as well. Last night, Brandon Dawson sat out due to a sickness. I looked on, you know, on Twitter sphere, you know, it seemed to be like, you know, there were rumored that, you know, it was rumored that he had the flu, but he wasn't feeling well. He sat out. Of course, you got Alvin Ellis out with the sprained ankle. You got Javon Best out with the broken foot. He won't be back until maybe mid to late December. So you got three big pieces already out for this team. But I tell you what, the way that, you know, other players have stepped up in lieu of their absence, I tell you what, it's really remarkable. First guy I want to shout out, I got to shout out the consistency of Travis Trice. Folks, how good has Travis Trice been so far to start this season? Last night, he had 19 points, 8 assists. He went 5 of 11 from three-point land. He's gone 13 of 27 on the year thus far. And look, and this is what I'm talking about with consistent success. This Travis Trice is showing us that he is a new player. He has a renewed mindset. He has a renewed game this year that is starting to pay dividends early on for this team. And he's only gotten better. Looking at his numbers, let's start with the Masters College here, folks. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. A stat line that shows that Travis is not only putting the ball in the basket, but he's also contributing on the rebounding end and getting others involved. 6 rebounds and 9 assists in that game. All right, let's move on to St. Cloud State. 20 points, 3 assists. Certainly taking on a more aggressive role offensively. Let's go to Navy now. A Navy game which started the regular season for this team. Again, the Masters College and St. Cloud State, those are two exhibition games against two cupcakes. The Navy game, though, was a game that, you know, had a lot of people nervous looking at this Michigan State men's basketball team. They looked shaky. Navy made it competitive throughout its entirety, and certain people had to step up. None more than Travis Trice. Travis Trice was awesome that game. He had 25 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Did what he needed to do to get the win. Without Travis Trice in that performance, Michigan State would have lost to Navy, folks. Point blank, period. All right, let's go to Duke now. Another even kill stat line. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. That's consistency, folks. And then Loyola Chicago, 13 points and 7 assists. Travis Trice has a renewed mindset. He's taking on this leadership role, and he's become more aggressive in many regards, in many aspects of his game. Not only is he scoring, but he's making an effort to corral rebounds off of misses defensively and offensively, folks. And he's also getting others involved. He's making his teammates better. Travis Trice, my goodness. I mean, again, you talk about adversity. We talk about adversity here on today's show. Travis Trice is a man who has certainly dealt with adversity throughout much of his MSU men's basketball career. Travis Trice, I don't know who this is, but this Travis Trice, I haven't seen this Travis Trice before, folks. A guy who had a breakout game last night. Man, oh, man. Marvin Clark Jr., how about the big man? I mean, he's a guy that can take you inside. He can take you outside and hit the three ball or hit a nice 15-footer. He had 15 points, 4 rebounds last night. He's a solid transition player. He can play defense. He had 4 blocks last night. He's strong. I mean, my goodness, I don't know if I'm possibly with I don't want to give him too much praise because, again, this is one game. Marvin Clark Jr. was certainly a standout. But, man, oh, man, what a game it was. You know, it's possible, folks, that Marvin Clark Jr. can give Brandon Dawson a little run for his money when it comes to minutes on the court, when it comes to just, you know, I may argue that Marvin Clark Jr. right now is a better offensive player than Brandon Dawson is. I think that Marvin Clark Jr. has shown so far, you know, a lot of versatility. He's shown he's got some post moves. He's also great in transition, which I think is Brandon Dawson's best aspect to his game. But Marvin Clark Jr., my goodness, he can be a tremendous complement to that attack. Folks, again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We've got our friend Mike from Saginaw on line one. Mike, how you doing, my man?
Thank you. How you doing there, Al? Let me, I was just going to ask you about Marvin Clark. Do you think Marvin Clark got a good three-point shot or a mid-range game yet?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, looking at Marvin Clark so far this year, I mean, Marvin Clark has shown that he can hit the three ball. Without a doubt. I mean, he's got a nice stroke on him. He's very poised when he does take the shot. That's no fluke. That's no fluke, Mike. This kid can shoot.
Do you think Schilling and Costello, will they going to be able to be threats in the post there, or are they just guys who can sprint and make a basket or two?
Yeah, and that's another thing, Mike. That's the next point I wanted to get to. When you talk about Gavin Schilling is a guy, if you remember last year, he showed us a few games here and there that, you know, that he has some moves on him. He's a guy that can score 14 points, 11 rebounds last night. He's a guy that can score. He can get those scrappy rebounds, those 50-50 balls. And, you know, last night, 14 points, 11 rebounds, those were both career highs for him as well. I think Schilling can certainly be a threat on the offensive end. Now, the other guy, Costello, is the other piece of this puzzle here. I really haven't seen anything from Matt Costello yet, Mike, that shows me that he can be any kind of threat down low. He tried it a bit last night. Again, you know, he went 0-for-2. He had 9 rebounds. He played a bit of defense. If there's any strong suit to Matt Costello's game, it's his rebounding and it's his defense. As far as being an offensive threat down low, that is something that I am still waiting for Matt to become. He was great. You know, going back to Matt Costello's high school career, a lot of people forget, Matt Costello was a very, very good high school player, very outstanding high school player. And, you know, we've yet to see him sort of blossom, though, on the offensive end here. And you know, right now, I just think it's a confidence thing with him. Sometimes, you know, you see Michigan State dump the ball into him down low, and he kind of looks unsure of himself. You know, he'll try to back it down a little bit, but sometimes he'll throw the ball right back out to the three-point line to a guard. I want to see him gain that confidence more, and that's only going to come in games like last night.
Okay. Let me ask you two quick questions, and I'll let you get to other callers here. What do you think about Marshall being undefeated and not getting any recognition at all?
Yeah, how about that? You know, that is something definitely to talk about. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Mike, it all comes down to quality wins. And in this whole scheme of things, you know, it comes down to who have you beaten. And I think right now, I think when it comes to down to respect, that's what it comes down for Marshall right now, Mike.
Okay. And this is about the high schools. Is all your I know Ithaca made it, Lansing Catholic Central, and Sexton. Is all the high schools in your area still in the state championship, or I'm missing a team?
Yeah, no, those are three. We have three left, as you just said, Lansing Sexton, Lansing Catholic, and Ithaca. Ithaca plays at 4:30 on Friday at Ford Field. Lansing Sexton plays at 7:30 at Ford Field. And Lansing Catholic will play on Saturday at 4:30. So, yeah, three teams.
All right then, man. All right then. You have a good Thanksgiving, and thanks for letting me talk to you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Mike, my man, thanks a lot.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, three local teams, folks. Exciting times. But, yeah, Alex, I mean, looking at you were at the game last night, actually. Got to see these guys up front in action and in person. I really thought that and I think that Marvin Clark Jr. can become a big threat offensively and defensively for this team. Just an all-around solid guy to have. And, again, Travis Trice was, I mean, he was great. He's been great all year.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The performance last night, there was a lot to look at. But you got to take it with a grain of salt, Al, because this
you
is...
You do. I mean, look who they're playing. Yeah.
Right. It's a mid-level, middle-of-the-division, Western team, you know, out West team that is a smaller team. I thought that as much as they rebounded well, they overpowered them. They towered over them. They had way bigger guys with Schilling and Costello. And you can even talk about Clark's strength compared to some of their team. So for me, you got to kind of wait until the Big Ten starts to really analyze. But yeah, I agree that Marvin Clark can certainly be a threat. His explosiveness, he can shoot from the outside. He does a lot of really nice stuff down in the post. Some really good screens, gets guys open. He's kind of an all-around player, and you could see the intensity between him and Forbes and a lot of the guys. I mean, they have that intensity. That chemistry's there this year.
Yeah, certainly, and I think he's a guy who's only going to get better. I tell you what, Marvin Clark Jr., look out for him, folks. And also Denzel Valentine. I want to shout out Denzel Valentine. He had 13 points, 11 rebounds, a double-double for him. You know, I think his defense as well. Looking at that game, I think, you know, because that was one of the question marks I had on the brink of this year as well. I said that the guards have to play better defensively. I think that was, you know, one of the keys to their woes against Navy to start the season. The guard defense has to be there. Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice, I think, are getting better at on-ball defense and not letting their defenders just drive by them for easy layups down the lane. And also the big man, too. If that does happen, those guys got to step up and be threats down low to say, you might have got by my guy, but no, you are not getting this ball up above the basket. I think, you know, you can contribute that to, again, in four blocks of Marvin Clark Jr., guy's a heck of a defensive player, too. He has a lot of potential on that end as well. Folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in if you want to weigh in on anything that we talk about on today's show. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little MSU women's basketball. We'll also dive into the Pistons' early season woes. And will beating Ohio State save Brady Hoke's job? Come on, let's be real, right? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Direction, another step,
and I'll
be on our way. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm looking here on my phone here. Just got a notification from SportsCenter, ESPN SportsCenter app. That says that Lions, Jim Caldwell says that the team has no comfort zone. Quote, no comfort zone at this time on offense. Pretty strong statement. I'm looking here. It's like the fourth headline on ESPN.com. Twitterverse is talking about it. I mean, why is this such a big story? I mean, this should be no surprise. I totally agree with Jim Caldwell here. The Lions really have been, you know, searching throughout much of this season to find any sort of rhythm, any sort of consistency on the offensive end. I mean, if there's any consistency, if I had to choose one aspect of the Lions that you can argue that has been relatively consistent, I would have to harp on probably Golden Tate. I mean, Golden Tate, you know, week to week to week is throwing up big numbers. You know what I mean? He's solid. He's a solid receiver. You know, when you talk about yards after the catch, I mean, he's a definitely reliable target for Matthew Stafford. But again, when it comes to Matthew Stafford, again, he just doesn't win the big games against the big teams, you know what I mean? You know, Matthew Stafford, this was a golden opportunity to send a message throughout the league to tell everyone that, yeah, the Lions are for real. You know, playing, you know, probably the best team in the league right now in the Arizona Cardinals, and then possibly the second best team in the New England Patriots. If you would have beat just one of those teams, just one of those teams, imagine the hoopla that would have ensued from across the NFL, across the board. So, you know, right now, you know, again, running game has been, you can't really count on. You know, Joint Bell has been, he's been good some games. He hasn't been great some games. When you talk about the receiving, again, other than Golden Tate, you know, Calvin Johnson's been hurt a lot of the year. So, you know, since he's been back, he hasn't thrown up great numbers, not huge numbers, eye-popping numbers. But again, you know, Matthew Stafford has to complete the ball better than what he's been doing. He's actually coming off the worst completion percentage of his career against New England, folks. 39.1% is what Matthew Stafford's completion percentage was on Sunday. That's crazy. That's crazy. And they haven't rushed for a touchdown since week 7 against New Orleans and have only 6 rushing touchdowns this season. Folks, that is tied for 21st in the NFL. But again, I'm not pushing the panic button here. By no means. The Lions, looking at the schedule they have, you know, coming up here. Again, you get over the hurdle of, you know, in your schedule, losing to the Cardinals and the Patriots. But now you play the Buccaneers, you play the Bears, you play the Vikings, and you play the Bears again on the road. You don't really get tested by a solid, solid team until you close out the season against the Packers. So, keep your head up, Lions fans. Keep your head up. All right. Well, really briefly here, I want to talk about the MSU women's basketball team. They are actually going to be in action tomorrow night at the Breslin Center. I believe next caller wins the tickets, right, Alex? Next caller wins the tickets. So if you want to go check out the Michigan State women's basketball team as they take on the Oakland University Grizzlies tomorrow night at the Bres, give us a call right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, the MSU women's basketball team, they are coming off a 64-45 win over IUPUI on Sunday. Again, the Spartans take on OU tomorrow. I really think, looking at this team has some interesting aspects and interesting pieces to it. I first off want to shout out this team for really hanging in tough against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a very good team. They are in the conversation every single season to make a Final Four, to compete for a national championship, and that is what, you know, nonetheless, this team is competing for this season. Notre Dame entering the Breslin Center, number 3 in the AP poll, number 2 in the USA Today coaches poll, and Michigan State hung tough with this team the entire time. A gritty, gritty effort, especially on the defensive end on the ball by Michigan State. So, you know, right now, I think the big question for this team, offensively at least, is how far can Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska take this squad? How far? Because each and every game we've seen so far, I mean, you're seeing solid performances from Powers and Jankowska. Even if Jankowska is off, you know, you can expect Powers to have a big game. If Powers is off, Jankowska's shoulders to low, which is what happened on Sunday. I mean, Powers had a very bad shooting performance. Very bad shooting performance. It may not, you know, when you look at the end score, I'm trying to bring up how many points Ariel Powers had, but it was something in the teens, maybe. A terrible shooting effort, though. She shot something like 20 shots, you know, hit, you know, barely 30% of them. Tori Jankowska saw that, stepped up her game, and really took over the reins in that game. But you know what? Those two on the offensive end are so in sync right now. Again, they have each other's back. You know, there's been games where both of them had breakout performances. But if one is not on, you can expect the others to shoulder the load. How far this team goes, it's going to come and weigh on the weight of those two shoulders. Another thing I want to shout out, though. Again, Ariel Powers and both Tori Jankowska are guards. But I really think that the inside presence of a Becca Mills, a Jasmine Hines, those two more so, I would like to see those two get more involved and get more touches down low. I mean, just imagine if Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska are playing the way that they are playing this year, if they can get some production, some more production that they've been getting from Becca Mills and Jasmine Hines, if they can get that rolling, oh my goodness. I mean, this team, the sky's the limit for them, without a doubt. And looking at, you know, I brought up Mills and Hines. I mean, those are the two leaders of this team, excuse me. Both Jasmine Hines and Becca Mills are the captains of this squad. You know, from a leadership standpoint, you know, to get those two more involved, and we've seen, you know, a game here, you know, here and there where Mills has gotten some big numbers. Jasmine Hines I love Jasmine Hines because you talk about grittiness. Jasmine Hines is one of those gritty players who can get those scrappy rebounds, who can throw some bows down low and get the easy bunny layups. I really think those two, just imagine if those two got involved more so on the offensive end, just where that could take this team. And I really think the statement, again, of just hanging in there with Notre Dame, and you talk about a breakout game for Powers, she was fantastic. Stepped up right to the plate, 27 points. Torrey Jankowska had 20 points also in that game. I mean, my goodness, I love this team. I love the MSU women's basketball team this year. I think sky's the limit for them. And, you know, talking with the players, because I was at the game, I covered the game Sunday, and I was also at the Notre Dame game. And I remember sitting down, I was talking with Ariel Powers, and the goal and expectation for this team is to make a Final Four. This team is just tired of winning Big Ten championships, folks. That's the expectation every year, to win a Big Ten championship. That's all fine and dandy. But again, going back to expectations, you know, when you reach one goal, you know, the natural instinct is to climb the next mountain. The next mountain for this MSU women's basketball team and Susie Merchant is to make a Final Four and to compete on the national scheme of things. And, you know, looking at, because I watched also this morning, the new MSU women's basketball All Access was released, and they actually take a trip back in time to when Michigan State was eliminated from the NCAA tournament against North Carolina. This team is chomping at the bit. That memory is ingrained in the minds of just about everybody on that roster that was present during that loss. They're chomping at the bit to get to a Final Four, folks. So, and I think this team has a lot of potential to do so. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are covering all our bases here. Folks, Detroit Pistons. Let's talk about the Pistons really briefly here. Detroit Pistons, they're 3-10. Fifth in the Central Division right now. They play the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at 8 p.m. This is a team that, again, it's early. It's very early. You play 82 games throughout an NBA year. But this is not the start that many Piston fans, including myself, expected for this team. 3-10, they actually have the second worst record in the Eastern Conference. And I think it stems from a few areas here. First off, the first area for the Pistons I want to bring up is a stagnant offense. You never know from game to game who is going to show up for this Detroit Pistons team. It's iffy. You know, one day Brandon Jennings may have a breakout performance. The other day, you know, you may see DJ Augustine, you know, light up the numbers. You may see Greg Monroe have a big game. You never know who is going to show up. For me, I really think that this offense has to run through the bigs, that being Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. They've shown some positive signs throughout this year so far that when you get the ball to Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe, good things happen. Period. And, you know, contrasting that with some hard numbers here, Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond have been consistently throughout this year, consistently in the top 10 in rebounding from week to week to week in the league. Actually, the Pistons rank fourth in the league when it comes to rebounds. It's like the only top 10 stat they have, but that shows you a little bit of the light that could turn to be very bright if they harp on it. Drummond and Monroe have to be more integral parts of that offense. And sharing the ball, folks. I mean, my goodness, there's a lot of selfishness, I think, on this Detroit Pistons team right now. They actually rank 29th in the league in assist per game. Sometimes, again, I talk about this offense. There's no fluidity to it. You know, you see many times, you know, guys just taking the ball one-on-one or jacking up shots. Don't let me get started on Josh Smith. I feel like I'm wasting breath talking about Josh Smith and how this man just thinks he's like the second coming of Larry Bird, just jacking up shot after shot after shot. But again, I think this team needs to share the ball more. Folks, 29th in the league and assists per game is not going to get it done. And you know what? You know, defensively for this Pistons team, you know, they played, for me, their best defense of the season in that overtime win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's actually the last win that the Pistons have had. I mean, they're on a big losing streak right now. But, you know, in that win, which they had to earn, in that five-minute window in overtime, the Pistons locked down. You know, they didn't allow guys to get easy layups in the lane. That's one thing about the Pistons, man. They will give up so many points in the paint. It amazes me. When you got Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe, who were being dubbed the Twin Towers last season, and the year before that, for that matter. I mean, it amazes me how those two defensively just can't get it done in the paint. I don't get it. But again, if there's any positive light here, again, fourth in rebounds. And ideally, the Pistons have been in every game that they've lost. It comes down to late-game execution. The Pistons, I mean, in some of those games have had double-digit leads, 13-point leads, 10-point leads in the third, late third, fourth quarter, but have just slowly given them up due to lack of defense and lack of consistency on the offensive end. This team is still learning how to close out games and how to win. Thank goodness this is happening at the beginning of the season. Stan Van Gundy and Stan Outre still. I think the Pistons will get it together, but there are some things that need to be polished up before that happens. Folks, let's hit our break here. Second break. When we come back, since it's Thanksgiving week, we're going to list the top five things we are most thankful for in the world of sports, folks. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with this and this one each and every year, and today will be one of those moments nonetheless, folks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. First off, before we dive into our Top 5 Tuesday, I want to just get this off my chest and say this really briefly. I was sitting back, not only just watching sports last night, but I was definitely tuned in to CNN and multiple media outlets, news outlets throughout the nation. And, of course, yesterday, what's been the talk of the town, the verdict of the Michael Brown case took place. And it was read, and, immediately after it was read, out in Ferguson, violence started to ensue right off the bat. Many people looting, stealing things from stores left and right, police cars set on fire, just sad, riveting, a sad, riveting moment in our nation's history, folks. It's always upsetting when I turn on the TV. And, you know, fine, you could be upset with what took place. Whatever verdict was read yesterday, you can be upset about it. But violence, folks, solves nothing. I saw a few peaceful demonstrations that were held here in Lansing. I want to shout out the Black Student Alliance here on Michigan State's campus, who held a peaceful rally at The Rock last night. There were also some other peaceful rallies that, you know, occurred throughout the nation. Folks, I want to say violence solves nothing. If you're going to protest, do it peacefully and stay safe, okay? Thoughts and prayers go out to all those who were involved in the chaos that took place last night. Riveting stuff, to say the least, folks. All right, well, let's transition now. Let's change the mood here. Let's bring some happy vibes here to Current Sports after talking about that. Top 5 Tuesday, folks, is our moment here on the show, where we talk about a top five sports topic every single Tuesday. And this week, with Thanksgiving being right around the corner, man, I can taste my grandma's famous macaroni and cheese right now. Oh, boy, I can't wait for it. One of my favorite holidays. It's actually my second favorite day out of the entire year. Numero uno being, of course, Christmas. But in light of Thanksgiving here on Current Sports, we are going to go through the top five things we are most grateful for in the world of sports. Here it is, Top 5 Tuesday. Yes, that's right, folks. Top 5 Tuesday here on Current Sports, where each and every Tuesday we list the top 5 sporting topic and dwindle it down. So today, again, it's Top 5 Tuesday. Thanksgiving is, what, 2 days away now? It's Tuesday, yeah, 2 days away now. And, you know, it's one of my, again, my second favorite day of the year, other than Christmas. And, you know, we're going to list the top 5 things that we are most grateful for in the world of sports, Alex and I. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Pretty well, man. Yeah, a lot to be thankful for. I'm going to start it off with my number 5.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got to love celebrations. I mean, we've seen all kinds of celebrations this year. You've seen it in a mockery of sense. You've seen it from some Detroit athletes, too. So I love the celebration. It makes sports more laughable. It gives people something to talk about. So that's my number 5.
So celebrations in sports is your number 5. I like that.
Yeah. What about you?
Be careful, though, with celebrations, because we've seen multiple athletes celebrate and end up costing their season. I remember we listened actually to top 5 worst sports celebrations of all time. And yeah, but I like that. Okay, number 5 for me. You know where I'm going with this, my man. I'm thankful for this year's Dallas Cowboys team. Yep, you know where I'm going. I'm a big Cowboys fan. The Cowboys are 8-3, second in the NFC East division. They've swept the rivalry series. One of the games that I definitely am glued to my TV about, because Cowboys and Giants don't like each other. The Cowboys have slept the New York Giants for the season. And hey, we beat the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. How about that? So I'm grateful right now the Dallas Cowboys are sort of proving to everyone that they are for real this year. Thanks, Cowboys.
I like that. Yeah, my number 4, you got to give it to post-game press conferences. I mean, the Dennis Erickson's, the Tony Dungy's, the Herm Edwards. I mean, we've seen it in basketball, the Tom Izzo's. So you got to love the next question, too.
Yeah, oh, boy. Were you there for that moment?
I wasn't there.
Oh, but I was in that
trailer. Actually, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah,
gotcha.
With Earl Robinson.
Nice. Hey, shout out to Earl, man. Hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
Presses, what's your favorite part? Because a lot of people don't like the D'Antonio presses because they feel as though it's too dull. But I actually like D'Antonio press conferences because he shows a little personality in
them.
What's your favorite press conference other than the next question of all time?
The quirkiness. You got to love the Mike Gundy. You got to love the Mike Gundy.
That's a good one.
I'm the man on 40.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. That's a very good one. All right, well, that's your number 4. Number 4 for me. I took a different route from you, Alex. I'm grateful for the return of LeBron James. I like the return of LeBron James because, first off, you know, LeBron got bashed by many when he had this whole decision broadcast and, you know, how he felt as though he had to link up with another superstars, in Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade to win an NBA championship, which he did. You know, he got his rings. But I thought it was great that he had decided to return home now to Cleveland and deliver his hometown, the hometown that many felt as though he dissed him and said, with the whole trade, he's come back to deliver a ring. But now LeBron has to really earn it.
That's right, Alex.
He is earning every game right now because Cleveland has had not a great start to this year. And LeBron is sort of finding who he is offensively again, I think, with being back in Cleveland. And, you know, it's loyalty now. This show is loyalty in sports, specifically in the NBA, because a lot of people in the NBA, I mean, superstars linking up with superstars to get a ring, it happens far too often. So shout out to LeBron James.
I like that. It's a different spin on it.
It is. The return of the king to Cleveland.
Because
he hasn't
exactly returned yet. It's not like they're winning every game they play.
He's earning it. He's definitely earning it.
It's just a return home so far.
Return home so far, yeah. So shout out to LeBron James. I'm grateful for the return. All right.
Number 3, going more overall here. You gotta love the facilities, the big stadiums. I mean, there's nothing like going into, you know, Spartan Stadium or if it's Michigan Stadium on a game day and seeing the atmosphere there and the facilities. How about the fact that you can get food? Even here at Lansing Lug Nuts, you can get some amazing hot dogs, macaroni dogs,
slaw
dogs.
There's nothing like Lansing Lug Nuts game food, okay? I love it. It's great stuff.
Yeah, just food into the facilities around sports it's a great little couple.
What's your favorite facility?
Ooh, I don't know. I haven't been to that too many stadiums, man.
Really?
I've heard the Pirate Stadium, I heard, is really nice. I probably would have to say the Arizona Diamondback Stadium is pretty awesome.
Gotcha.
They got a nice little pool in the back. It's a cool little
pool.
Atmosphere.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they got this swimming area in the back. It's cool.
Let me know when you make that trip. I'll come with you.
It's a while ago, man.
All right. All right, number three for me. Now, this may sound crazy to many out there, but number three for me, I am grateful, Alex, for the college football playoff. I am. You know why? Because I hated the BCS. I hated it. I hated the computers, you know, sort of having such a hands-on approach as to who deserved to play in a national championship game. I hated the BCS system, and many people can echo those very sentiments. Every game counts in the college football playoff. It's certainly been talked about, I think, far too often. Far too often, I think. It's the story every single week after every Saturday night. But every game counts in the system, and I really think that, you know, it's brought a lot of attention. I really like the college football playoff system. It's opened the door for many teams. Now, can it become better? Of course. I personally think it just should be 18. This should be a 18 college football BCS. College football playoff system. Excuse me, folks. I don't want to ever say BCS again. But, you know, and I believe that every FBS team, you know, really has a really good shot to possibly make the playoff based on performance. So, I like it. I'm grateful for it.
It opens the door a little bit.
It does open
maybe
the door.
It's not the best, like
it cracks
you said.
It cracks
could be
the door.
Refined, but it cracks the door into more of a tournament-style kind of thing. So I see what
certainly,
you're saying.
Certainly.
Number two, how about the collectibles with sports, man? The fact that you can get merchandise. How about sports cards? I mean, for me, I have the biggest sports card collection back at home. I mean, for
do
me.
You? How many cards do you get?
I got thousands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm saving them all.
We can get rich, Alex. What are we doing here? Oh, my goodness.
Call me 20 years from now. But no, the fact that... you know, that the sports editions, aside from just the game itself, going outside the X's and O's, the fact that sports cards and merchandise is a whole other category. I mean, you have friends, Al, that wear their jerseys. They have their favorite jersey, their retro throwback jerseys.
Yeah, definitely.
Really expensive
jerseys. They used to be really big in the 2000s. Now they kind of – I used to have like three jerseys, but they kind of fizzled out now. But I definitely see where you're going.
Yeah, different merchandise. I mean, you can get like Michigan State cups and all kinds of stuff now. It's just merchandise and sports is pretty awesome.
Certainly. Without a doubt. All right. Well, I'm going to take a hands-on approach here. For number two, I want to shout out the Magic Man, Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, he was actually at the – did you see him at the game last night, Alex?
No, but I know that he spoke to the team, right?
He spoke to the team. He was actually he attended the game as well. He spoke to the team right before the Santa Clara game. But Magic Johnson, I got a chance to sit down with him for Current Sports TV. Man, you know – nothing really, you know, and being in this business, I was talking to Graham Couch about this not too long ago. I mean, in this business, you can't be awed by anybody. These athletes are human just like us. But I tell you what, you know, sitting down with Magic Johnson, I approached it just like any regular interview. You know, it's Magic Johnson, I'm sitting down with. He's a regular man. But I tell you what, when I went home, I had to kind of pinch myself like, man, I just sat down with Urban Magic Johnson, a guy who I looked up to when I was growing up. One of the nicest guys you ever meet in your life. I'm grateful for that Magic Johnson CSTV sitting down. That was fun stuff.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed watching that too. That's awesome. Number one, there's a winner and a loser. It's not like a movie with no resolution.
Ah.
This isn't the Hunger Games here. This is an actual winner and loser here. So for me, you got to love the competition, the warriorness with football and rugby and all these other different kinds of sports with contact. You got to love the fact, and hockey too.
Yeah.
You got to love the fact that, you know, there's a winner and a loser at the end of the day, and there's always some controversy too. So,
gotta love that.
That's my number one.
Good top five, Alex. That was a good personal top five. Number one for me, to close out, is just kind of a nice segue here. For me, I'm grateful for the listeners out there. All of you for tuning in each and every Monday through Friday here on Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We really appreciate the love. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And hey, be easy, people.